Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode 195, the real 195. And on this episode, we break down what I would consider an insanely popular cigar, but a controversial one amongst cigar smokers in the industry. And that is the Acid Cuba Cuba. So we will let this controversial episode begin. Why do we break this down? Well, we've got to give everything a fair shake, guys. That's just the reality. So, without further ado, let's get into it. All right. I'm going to kick this off with saying last episode garnered quite the feedback from folks.
Are you recording?
I'm recording on podcast.
You're recording the video.
It doesn't really matter if I'm recording the video because I'm going to shorten up the videos. So
that's true.
Yeah. So doing a lot of editing.
So tell me the gossip. I want to know.
There's a big dog.
I thought that was Kale for some reason. I tripped my mind. I'm like, why the fuck is Kale coming into this room? And I just realized that's your feed, not mine.
Yeah, that's my big bear. Yeah, so last week's episode, if you haven't seen it, there's going to be a link right there. So you can go see the episode. So it was an overrated, underrated, fifth edition. And I was waiting for the time of which Gurkha would come up on our list. And boy, oh boy, did we get quite the feedback on Gurkha. So let me put it this way. Not a lot of people coming to defend Gurkha. not a lot of people who are like, I'm Gurkha fan, you know. It was more of a, yeah, those overpriced pieces of shit. Pretty much the feedback from the collective community as the episode began to make its way through everybody's phones and computers over the week. So yeah, interesting episode, because I think there's more feedback around this last episode than I think we've ever received on any one of the overrated, underrated. So a lot of messages from people. It sparked some interest from some manufacturers that we discussed on the episode, reaching out, messaging myself and wanting to explore the brands a little bit further, which is cool. It's cool. You know what I mean? And I'll put it this way. There's never a time of which we record those episodes and I blame anybody for being a defense of their own brands, right? Like, obviously, sure, what we put out there is our opinion around things. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's always negative. It doesn't mean like, okay, if we say you're overrated, that it's some crazy blatant thing. Now, in Gurkha's case, it is. I don't know how many times you can fucking strike out and and then consider it to be something appropriate for the marketplace. But for a lot of them, it's just like, you know, in our opinion, small tweaks and adjustments to make to their business. And I think a lot of them are probably pretty aware of their reputation in the marketplace and have probably already taken action around some of those things, knowing or unknowing to the rest of the community. So I do like the conversation that it sparks and the interaction that it sparks. People really enjoy the episodes, as I've already said before. But I think more so this round, there was a lot of people reaching out and saying some pretty crafty and clever things about certain manufacturers. So if you haven't checked out the episode, it's definitely worth checking out, because they're always controversial, but not meant to. Like, we don't put them out to be controversial. It's just we put them out there because we want to state our opinions around certain things, and that's it. So there you go. Cheers to another overrated, underrated.
Cheers. You know what? Is it drinky night?
Dude, every night's drinking night for me.
Play elevator music.
Do 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 do.
Please wait while we connect you with the next available host.
This is Chris. How may I help you?
Hi, Chris. My lawn chair's broken. Damaged in fucking shipping.
Oh, can I get your first name and last name?
I want a full refund plus some. I want a full refund and a six-pack of Molson.
Sir, I can't help you if you keep talking over me. What's your first name and last name so that I can look up your account information?
My name is Jermichael Jermichael.
Michael Jermichael. Can you spell that?
Sure can. If you can tell by my accent, spelling is not in my vocabulary. What if someone's name was Michael Jermichael?
Jermichael.
Oh, shit. Yeah, every night's a drinking night. This is something that I've lived by recently. You're also drinking bourbon out of a coffee mug. That's a little disturbing, but
it's the substitute teacher method.
I know. Yeah, we talked about that, didn't we? Yeah. So not that I want to put too much out there, but you know, my background today is what they like to call acid blue. So I'm really I'm representing. Sure. In a really wonderful fashion, what is to come on this episode. But before we get into that, do you want to explore some turtles?
I love turtles.
Yeah, dude, I love turtles. I've been obsessed with turtles lately, so I'm just like going over all this interesting stories about turtles.
They're like one of the coolest animals ever, seriously.
Fucking awesome. They live to be forever old. It's pretty incredible. So the first story, which I will share with you, I thought was interesting. There's no video or audio to it, but I can read. The headline is, Florida woman survives being hit by a flying turtle. Now, let me provide some context to this. She was, so this is in Daytona. So she was driving on I-95. You know where I-95 is at?
Yeah.
In Daytona, it's the main highway. And then there's A1A that's on the coast. So she's driving on the highway, and it would appear that the turtle gets hit by another vehicle and throws the turtle into her windshield, which hits her in the face. So she gets lacerations on her face from the flying turtle. Now, here's the crazy thing. Is she gets injured, is bleeding. The turtle goes through the windshield. And guess what?
He's fine.
The turtle's fine. Just a few scratches on it. Flies to the windshield. This guy pulls it out of the windshield and puts it back into the wild.
Are you telling me
flying turtle, fucking turtle.
This turtle was flung like one of those softball pitcher machines that you go to a batting cage, like a tire treated.
I think
turtle.
It was probably a tire that like flipped it up. Yeah. Yeah. It would only make sense.
Shot it out the back like a fucking softball machine.
Which really tells you, know what it reminds me of? Do you ever see those Tupperware commercials where they like run over the Tupperware? Like, yeah. It's like, oh, look at the durability around this. And they do it with other things too, like other items. It's like, it can withstand, you know, a 10 ton truck. I have a feeling that's essentially what happened to this turtle, is that a semi truck, an 18 wheeler, just went right over it and just shot it out the back, like smashing over that really durable Tupperware, and just slingshot that damn turtle right into a windshield.
I think you're onto something. I feel like it's important that everyone replace all their existing plastic Tupperware with turtle shell Tupperware.
Yeah, turtle shell tough,
dude.
That's what they call it. Yeah, if they could just figure out how to replicate basically all the fibers inside of a turtle shell, you get the strongest Tupperware ever in existence.
Yeah, dude. That's fucking wild,
it's
man.
It's wild, isn't it? Turtles are the shit, dude. Turtles
are fucking
cool.
Do you think
he
was flung in the perfect spiral, or do you think he was
he went like a flying saucer.
Ooh, like a frisbee.
I think he was like a frisbee, yeah.
Can you imagine how dizzy that turtle was?
Dude, could you imagine if you're a turtle and you wake up inside a windshield? like what? And you just smash into some lady's fucking head? Like, wait, what? How does that even happen? You want to see another? Go ahead.
Thomas, what? Yeah, man. What happened, dude? Dude, the wildest shit ever. You know, like how we like cross streets real slowly? Yeah. You know what? Like when there's cars that usually stop for you and you take your sweet ass time for about an hour crossing the street, or maybe someone like picks you up and carries you across the street, which makes your job easy because then you don't have to use any energy to cross the street. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Well, dude, the wildest shit happened. Not only did they not pick me up and carry me across the street like they typically would, but you won't believe it, but a fucking semi truck
ran me over, and before I knew it, I'm flying in the air next to fucking birds, and then all of a sudden I dive bomb like a fucking A-bomb nuke into a woman's windshield.
Yeah, that
should I'm okay. She's not.
Yeah, her fucking face got beat up. Isn't it strange to think that the turtle's the one that came out unscathed?
It just goes to prove how fucking resilient the Ninja Turtles are and why they don't die in movies.
That makes sense. It definitely makes sense. It's all starting to play out.
That's fucking crazy, though.
That's pretty wild. All right, let me show you this other thing. So, speaking of how badass turtles are.
Our little exoskeleton friends.
Can you see this?
Yeah.
The lion?
Yeah.
Check this out.
It's pretty. Mm-hmm. Formidable. Scary, but pretty.
You gotta skip. Oh, see him?
Ooh. Lion licking the water. Lion goes, hey, what is that thing moving towards me? Oh, it's a... What is that? It's a turtle.
It's a goddamn turtle.
And the turtle, I don't know if the turtle's trying to fight him.
I think the turtle's trying to fight him. I think the turtle's like, this is my watering hole. You get the fuck out. So for people who are listening to the podcast, this turtle just chased off a lion who's drinking out of a stream. Now, it's one thing that the turtle goes after this male lion, but then it continues to go after a female lion. So now we're starting to see the turtle make its way towards the female lion who is now currently drinking out of the stream.
You know what?
Dude, this turtle is a badass.
I think this is a case of mistaken identity, or you know how like some people say they're something that they're not? Like,
sure.
Oh, I'm a badass, but you're like a scrawny ass person who's going to get your ass beat.
Yeah, you think the
turtle. What if this turtle's like, I'm an alligator. I am an alligator. I'm going to eat you.
Well, what's kind of fucked up is that even a lion would beat the shit out of an alligator.
But I feel like the turtle's like, oh, look at me. I am an alligator.
Dude, look at that. He's going after this lion again. This lion is literally like, what the fuck? He's trying to bite his face.
Dude, the lion looks at the camera, and I swear his face is like, are you fucking kidding me?
Dude, I want to see him latch onto this female's tongue. Dude, look at him.
Look how apprehensive the lions are. Like, what the
fuck? They're like, what is this? But like, what could a lion even do to a turtle if you think about it? Like, what could a lion do to a turtle?
Toss it, basically.
Just toss it. Like, yeah, well, you're not going to eat it, right?
I'm an alligator.
Dude, that little turtle is a fucking badass. How cool is that? Dude, turtles are so dope. Small I don't know why I've complex. Never had a pet turtle. Oh, we did. Didn't we have pet
that's
turtles?
That's a small man complex right there.
Yeah. He's like, you get out of my watering hole, bitch. Dude, survival though, right? Like, think about it. You've got an animal who is over time evolved to survive up to 200 years. Not that particular turtle, but there are turtles that outlive any human.
Yeah.
So turtles are doing something right. That's all I'm saying. Turtles, they figured something out that none of us have figured out.
I feel like the life lesson here is I think everybody needs to be a little bit of a turtle sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. You know, but just not to a lion.
Thick protective shell. Don't bow to the big dogs. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Now, what happens when it's turtle on turtle action?
Ooh.
And it's battle of the turtles. Then what happens?
It's I don't know. It's turtle to the second power.
Yeah, it's like some weird turtle inception.
Power.
Dude, turtles are cool, man. They're cool. Are they reptiles? What are turtles?
I believe they're reptilian.
Are they?
I don't know. Probably not. Are they cold-blooded?
Yeah, I don't know what a turtle is.
I don't think they are.
They lay eggs, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think they're reptilian.
Oh, first question. Is a turtle a reptile?
No. Yes? No?
Do you think when their heads don't pop out, they have erectile dysfunction?
I love that dad joke. It's good.
It's really I even good. Made myself laugh.
That was a good one, though. It's very quippy.
Oh, shit. I need to put that on a popsicle. I love that. That's great. I literally, that was right off the top of my head. I was like, darn, there's something here.
A reptile just I love it.
It'd be way funnier if I didn't laugh at my own joke, but
dude, even for me, I love it.
Even for me, it was clever.
I love it.
Reptiles are turtles, snakes, lizards, alligators, and crocodiles. So yes, okay, they are technically reptiles. Makes sense. Makes sense. I mean, they look like reptiles. I don't know if a reptile has a specific look, but scaly, right? Turtles are scaly, other than their shell.
Generally cold-blooded.
Generally, they can be both.
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not an animalologist.
No, I'm not either.
What is that called when you're a specialist in animology? Is it, what the fuck is it called? There's a name
biologist?
For it.
Biologist?
I just called it an animalologist, which That's is totally not. Wrong.
I like this. Amphibians and reptiles are together called hermtofauna, or herps for short.
Oh my God.
So, you know, change that nickname. Come on. Hey, did you guys check out the old herp over there? It's just a turtle slowly walking down a river.
They are called herpologists, though.
Herpologists?
Yeah, people that specialize in reptiles.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
It's, yeah, you're right. Herpetologist. Herpetologist.
Herpetologist, yeah.
What is a, hold on. Let's see what a herpetologist, yeah, the study of reptiles. Do vets, yeah. How much does a herpetologist make per hour? Dude, they make average over 100,000 a year.
There's no fucking way.
It says it, $49.44 an hour, $102,000 a year for a herpetologist.
You'd probably even make more if there's more people with herps.
My pet turtle's sick. You better go see the herpetologist. What the fuck? Who does that? You know, here's the thing, though. They probably make a lot of money only because there's not that many in the U.S. Like, there's how many herpetologists are there? I don't think Indeed.com is overwhelmed by the number of herpetologist positions open in the market. I just don't think that's a thing. But it could be. You never know.
There's something wrong with my tortoise's eyes.
Dude, there's a herpetology hotline. Society for Studying Amphibians and Reptiles. What the fuck? Are you kidding? We got to call. Dude, let's call this hotline.
Makes me want to get a turtle.
Hold on. I think I may legit call this hotline right now.
Okay. I want to.
Hold on. Let me see if I can find that. What the fuck? It's an online submission form. So it's not even a hotline. There's no phone number. It's just one of those. It's a hotline form. Fields marked required. Name, email. What would you like to know more about? Snakes, lizards, frogs, toads, turtles, tortoises, salamanders, crocodiles, alligators, general reptiles, other. So it's like a questionnaire.
Yeah. Put in the subject or put in the...
Well, I'm not going to fill it out. I wanted to call a number. I wanted an actual herpetology hotline so I could be like, my turtle's sick.
Subject line, I think I gave my tortoise gonorrhea.
Shit. Well, that sucks. I was hoping to call a number. I would love to get a herpetologist hotline representative on the phone so I could just be like, how do turtles mate? So funny. How ridiculous, though, right? But man, turtles are really cool, though. They really are. Fuck. I cannot believe after all this time, we've never had a turtle. I don't think we've ever had a pet turtle.
I haven't. I mean, I rescued one. And then kept it for like a day.
I've grabbed one out of the middle of the street and transported it to a small pond. That's all I've done. That's the extent of my turtle.
You remember when you lived at your old house and I picked you up to go rescue a giant snapping turtle that was in the middle of the road?
And then it was gone. Didn't we turn around and then it was gone?
It was gone.
We're like, how did it move that fast?
We were only gone 3 minutes.
Not even that. I went up the street a little bit and turned around and it was fucking gone. I was like, wait a second. Like, how did the turtle make it past the road so fast?
I don't know. I mean, it was in the middle of the road when I passed it.
So that's so in that house is the only time I've carried a turtle back to that pond at Rosewood. There was a turtle over by the sidewalk, not nearly as big as that one. It was probably like this big. And I just grabbed it underneath its shell and it just kept sticking its head out. And I was like, and I just walked it over to the pond and just jumped right in.
Hey, total side subject, because ponds led me to think of this in my head. Dude, you know what we got to do this year that I haven't done as frequently as we did when we were younger? Is play some fucking frisbee golf.
Oh, yeah. Dude, there's a ton of courses around me down here.
Because we were good.
Yeah, but you know what? I really fucked up my shoulder. Like, the last few times I've played, my shoulder, it's like straight fire. I can feel, like, I can only do, I can't do, like, the overhand anymore. Like, I can't throw like that. I've got to do it all under.
Anheuser.
I have to. If I try to do, like, my shoulder just starts to, like, catch fire, like, right here. And where that dips at, I'm pretty sure my shoulder's completely fucked. I know for a fact it is. And I'm just not going to get it fixed. So, which is probably the wrong thing to do. I just don't want to have to rehab. Because there's a thing, like, I work out and I lift, but I don't lift super heavy. Like, I'm not trying to be a bodybuilder. So, when it comes to, like, benching, I do as much as I can do until my shoulder feels like it's going to give out. And then I stop. And it's always my right shoulder and just turns to like, it just feels like fire inside my arm. But that's the only, that and throwing a disc are the only range of motion that really bothers my shoulder. Hockey doesn't bother it. Like, I don't have any problems with that. I don't have any problems lifting something up off the ground. It's only just over my head.
I was about to say shoulder presses seem like they'd do terrible for you.
Shoulder presses suck. They hurt really bad. Yeah. And I stretch a lot and the whole thing. It's just, I know my shoulder's just, it's completely fucking
What about
mangled.
Pull-ups or chin-ups?
Oh, that's easy. Pull-ups and chin-ups are easy. Zero issues. Literally zero issues. I can do tons without feeling
Maybe it's because it's not an isolated group and you're using a lot more than just your shoulders.
I think part of it, too, is I have a pretty weak chest. So I think a lot of times I overcompensate. Like, if I try to lift too much weight, I'm using more of my arms than I am my chest, and I've really tried to get better about that. But I have, I have a abnormally small chest in comparison to the other things that I work out. So I think part of it's that too. It's like I just don't really have a strong chest. Like, I can't bench a ton of weight. Like, there's people, I mean, there's things that I'm really good at in terms of like functional strength, but there's definitely people smaller than me at the gym who can bench more weight than I can. Like, this is not my proudest. It's not my proudest feat. I'll put it that way. It's the weakest category I have. I can do a ton of push-ups, but it's just because I'm lightweight. It has nothing to do with being super strong.
You know what I'm self-conscious about, Corey? Now that we're talking about chess.
Hair loss?
No, I don't like having my shirt off because if I don't trim my nipple hair, It looks like a fucking Venus flytrap, dude.
Dude, I have the longest nipple hair, and it's disgusting.
I shave mine, but if I don't,
it actually looks better now because I have a nice V. Like, I have what looks like a pair of panties that connects right here on my chest. Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like. It's like a V, but just not as thick. It's a little bit more wiry and gross. Not as well defined, but it just comes in like a nice V pattern.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Yeah, if I don't trim my nipple hair, I don't take my shirt off.
Really?
Yeah,
that's kind of weird. Not gonna do it. I think that's a little strange. But to each their own, you know. You know, we got a review today.
But is it really a review?
You know, we have to call it a review, but I think what we need to do is preface our intent around the breakdown itself. And what I mean by that is this is a cigar of which is in a separate category than what we typically review. Now, I think I probably let out of a bit of a hint last night when I showed off the ban of this particular cigar and got no less than 20 messages back of people going, ooh, what the fuck's wrong with you? Another person writing in, typing in a phone number, an 800 number, and I go, what is this, like the gambler's hotline? He goes, no, that's a suicide hotline because it doesn't get any worse than this. And I was like, all right.
So much hate.
Yeah, a lot of hate around this. But, you know, I wanted to do this and I wanted to break down this cigar for one particular reason. And that is, well, two particular reasons. We owe it to do it because we've never done it before. And two, I think we need to discuss, in the context of this conversation, need to discuss the impact of which this cigar has had on the collective community over a long period of time. And what cigar am I talking about, Chris? I am talking about the highly sought after, the creme de la creme in terms of infused cigars, one of the most popular, if not the most popular, Drew Estate cigar in existence. That is the acid Cuba Cuba. We did it. We did it. We smoked an Infused cigar and reviewed it for this episode. Chris and I had taken the time for all of you to break down something that we have never broken down before, that we have discussed before, but I think both of us have agreed and have turned away numerous amounts of times. There's no way we can do this. Why would we be so stupid and so bold?
Now, I'm a little biased, though, Corey, because I happen to like the acid lineup. I have spent countless hours and money seeking some of the most famous acid cigars in history. And I have partook? Yeah,
I think it's taken.
In enjoying the experience of what the acid lineup has to offer. And I get it. It's a bit taboo. I get it. But I didn't bitch to you guys about you fucking smoking your Gurkhas. So don't you fucking bitch to me about my goddamn Drew Estate acids.
That's true. Good point. So as we move into this review, there's two things that I want to do. There's two things that I want to accomplish in this review. Number one is give our subjective, very personal opinion on the smokes themselves as we see them today. And then let's discuss why we think these cigars garner so much popularity. Can we do those two things?
Yeah.
Cool. Great. Let's do it. Chris, before we get in the components of the cigar, can you please tell everybody how we rate these bad boys?
Yeah, for this, I actually brought in a special guest. His name is Andre, and he is a crackhead. And as he said, sorry, Andre, but he has mentioned on numerous occasions about how he does a bunch of drugs and acid. And I felt it was only fitting that when he told me he did acid, that he read the introduction to this cigar review.
You want to come here, yeah, Andre?
Right. Man, that's a pleasure. So each cigar review is broken down into three main categories, dude. Construction, burn, and flavor. These boys see if the cigar is worth the price for a possible bonus or deduction, man. And then they finally average out their individual scores, giving you all your final score and recommendation, dude. Did I do good, man?
I think you did great, Andre. Thank you.
Good job.
Yeah.
Really good way to break that down. All right, so these were produced. Remember I said earlier, First Those Cigars, these have been around for quite some time. So their popularity in the marketplace has not really diminished. So 1999 was when this particular cigar was released. It has an Ecuadorian Sumatran wrapper, Nicaraguan binder, and Nicaraguan filler. Smokes it in a Robusto 5x54. Now, this is an infused cigar. What is it infused with? A bunch of magic fucking oils and whatever acid. Drew Estate puts in there. And acid. Literally acid. Yeah. Stomach acid. So there are obviously enhanced flavors, not necessarily natural tobacco flavors, but flavors introduced into this cigar that do cause a sweeter, fruitier sensation that you're going to get out of the cigar overall, but we'll get into the flavors in a little bit. But before we do so, Chris, let's get into the construction of the cigar. What did you think about, even though it's an infused cigar, does it hold up in terms of construction as other premium cigars would?
Well, I think there's two things that we need to address with the construction, Corey. There's one, the actual physical nature of the cigar, but the other one, I think, is a smell, all right? Now, I would typically reserve smell for flavor and retrohaling, but there is no doubt in my mind that if you were to walk into a humidor filled with the various lineups of acids, especially the Cuba Cuba, that you would notice a particular odor that emits from these particular cigars, more so than the traditional tobacco smell that you would typically get, right? Something interesting. There's a reason they're in cellophane. I'll just say that. But appearance first. Now, I'll give it to Drew Estate. I feel like they've truly honed their skills of construction. I will say that it is a well-constructed cigar. I thought the cap structure was nice. I had no damage in it. It had a slight give to it on the touch. It had a certain grittiness to the wrapper, but at the same time, almost like a peach fuzz, like something has been fermenting or growing on the outside of this cigar. It was very strange, fuzzy, but at the same time, rough.
Hmm.
It was very strange. It was almost had like a caramely color to it, but the color is still strikingly different than I would typically see with this wrapper, which you said was an Ecuadorian Habano, right?
Yeah, Ecuadorian Sumatra, I think.
Sumatra.
Yep.
So it doesn't really line up color-wise with an Ecuadorian Sumatran, but I will say this. You peel back the cellophane. Immediately you're greeted with a scent that is that I could personally only describe as this. And I mentioned this to you, Corey, last night that I was going to reserve these comments until today's show because you did not want to talk about it beforehand, even though I poked and prodded.
Yeah, I knew why you were calling.
Listen, when you open up this cigar out of the cellophane, the scent will immediately, well, at least for me, smells like an industrial carpet cleaner or like a, you know, like that powder that you like put on carpet before you vacuum clean it?
Yes.
That is the smell I got coming from this cigar. You remember our Whiff Out? Do you remember Whiff Out?
Yeah, I like Whiff Out though.
The brand that like it was a deodorizer that I will occasionally use.
Yeah,
I like hopefully Whiff Out. You guys are still going strong.
They are.
It literally smells like Whiff Out. It is the strangest smell.
Yeah.
Construction was solid. Fuzzy. I don't know why it's fuzzy, but also at the same time gritty and overly textured. But dude, there's no mistaking that the smell coming off this cigar is something that I can only describe as a chemical-based industrial product.
That's fair. I'm not going to talk too much about even what I smelled. So I thought actually, surprisingly, it was pretty nicely constructed. The only thing that was, I think, it wasn't even concerning. It was just kind of strange. It was like, this cigar to me was very lightweight. There's like no density to this cigar whatsoever. And I just kind of assumed if you're infusing a cigar with additional oils that it's probably going to add a little bit of weight to it. But maybe it's just the components used overall and different types, tobacco leaves, whatever, that it was a fairly lightweight cigar. Like this thing is like super light in the hands. But I think overall it was constructed pretty nicely. Actually kind of impressed on how well it looked because there's other Drew Estate gimmicky cigar. And I don't want to call the acid gimmicky, but it is a flavor infused cigar. And there's other Drew Estate cigars that are kind of, I would say, on the same line as the acids that are not as nice in terms of just overall production. So I'm actually quite impressed with that. What did you think about the burn?
So the burn, honestly, was a pretty solid burn for me, at least for the most part. It was a 2-3 puffer. I struggled with smoke production on it a bit. And I don't know if you noticed this or not. I keep a pretty good tap on the humidity of my cigars. And for the most part, all of them smoke really well. And I just got this one from you this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been sitting and regulating inside my humidors, right? And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but it seemed overly like humidified or had a lot more moisture in it than I would typically get with most cigars. And I don't know if that has to do with the infusions or the oils or whatever has been added to the cigar. But sadly enough, even with a consistent burn, which I thought did really well, it produced nice white ash, it burned pretty evenly, I found myself at the halfway point being really challenged to constantly relight the cigar. And the only thing I can attribute it to is it just seemed overly humidified or the oils were causing it to burn a lot more well, it affected it in a way that it struggled to stay lit for too long without it slowly dying off, or fastly dying off. And it caused a couple relights. But all in all, not that great smoke production, but definitely challenged on staying lit.
Okay.
And that's what I'll say about the burn.
For me, it's absolutely effortless and easy draw. It was almost that perfect resistance. It was a little lighter than what I would typically like, but I think because the smoke production for me was top notch, I can kind of forgive the a little bit more loose draw on it. Dude, tons of smoke. Easy, nice, airy draw on the cigar. Nice, even burn. I did have one outage, but it wasn't due to what I would think would be humidity issues. It was due to a pit that I had towards the end of the cigar. So one relight attempt on the cigar with just some pitting towards the end. But other than that, man, I was super impressed with the burn on the cigar. Like, super impressed. And when you think about something, you know, additives to the cigar to enhance the flavor, you are adding something to the tobacco that is inherently not there, could really affect the performance of a cigar. I would say more to the detriment probably than something that would enhance it to a better degree. So I was actually pretty impressed with the fact that it smoked as well as it did. I was actually extremely impressed. It was a really, really nice, easy smoking cigar, which is exactly what I love. I love cigars that I can smoke that I can just forget about, that I'm not like, oh fuck, is it gonna go out on me, or god, here I gotta go suck a golf ball through a garden hose again. It's none of that. It's just very effortless, and that's the kind of experience I think most people want in a burn. All right, arguably the most important part of our breakdown, which I would assume is going to be the most content and context we're going to provide in this particular view. Chris, flavors overall, what did you think? What did you taste? What did you think? Let's talk about balance, talk about complexity, and then we'll summarize the cigar overall in the two categories that I mentioned earlier. I'll let you take it away.
Sure. Thank you, Corey. Well, that smell you get when you open it from the cellophane that smells like industrial carpet cleaner. You put your lips to this cigar, and you're going to get an immediate rush of what I think we could all confidently say is sugar. The infusion on the cap gives you a sweetness that is 100% not natural. That said, you take an immediate draw from this cigar, and to the lips, it's just pure sugar. Now, the aromatics coming off this cigar give you something totally different. Still smells like industrial carpet cleaner, but tastes like sweet, sweet sugar in the mouth. Now, eventually, probably about 25% in, a lot of those sugars subside from the cap. And at moments, I found myself going, I think I get some woodiness and some earthiness from this. But most of the time, I'm just getting pure sugar blast in the mouth. And not really a whole lot of what I would say more seasoned smokers would derive themselves to pull from a cigar of the various flavors we're all accustomed to in smoking, like bitterness, earthiness, or spiciness, or whatever have you. It's just pretty much a sweet flavor, an unnaturally sweet flavor that you get while smoking the cigar. Now, about halfway through, some of that sugar subsides quite substantially. I found myself struggling with deriving certain flavors out of it, because my mouth had been completely raped by the synthetic sugariness that blasted my tongue and palate for the first 30 minutes of the cigar. It's kind of like when you go from one extreme to the other and it blows out your palate so much that you don't really taste much after that thing is gone. It's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, You had such a drastic flavor rush of something. You strip it away, and there's supposed to be some other flavors, but it just like completely negates it. I struggled with any flavors after about 50% of it. like I said, I think I got some woodiness and maybe some earthiness, but I couldn't really tell. Now, there wasn't a whole lot of change-ups after the sugariness, but I will say this cigar was fucking easy to retro. Yeah. Brother, if you retro this cigar, you will get that same industrial carpet cleaner smell right through your nostrils. And I don't know. The best way I can describe it is, I think there's a reason it's called acid. Personally, I think it took me to La La Land, and I found myself tasting things that truly don't exist and had me questioning reality to the point that, is this even a cigar? Am I even here? You know what I'm saying? It made me question so much.
Introspective questions.
The flavors left me with a series of question marks. And I can't really say that in a positive way. It's hard to say what was balanced and what wasn't because of just the nature of the sweetness that seemed to mask the undertones of what the cigar actually was on the inside. It's kind of like a pretty lady, or it's kind of like a lady. You know, like one of the, okay, here's a good example. Not a tangent, but hopefully this puts in perspective for you. Have you ever seen those TikToks or Instagrams?
Nope. Of
those
I already know. Don't know
really
anything about TikTok.
Really gorgeous Asian women?
No.
That are wearing a lot of makeup?
You're asking the question, I'm still saying no.
And they look gorgeous with a bunch of makeup on.
Talking about lady boys?
No, but then they like start using like facial wipe and cleaners and they start taking off all the makeup and you realize, oh my God, that lady who I thought was pretty is actually a really very unattractive Korean woman. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, because I've not seen them.
I'm sure some of you have. So that makeup is like the sugar on the cigar. When you take that away, it's just a really unattractive Korean woman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fair. You done?
I'm done.
Okay. So I think you said it best in there, the fact that there's such an overwhelming unnatural sweetness to the cigar, which there is, laced on top of the wrapper, right? So it hits your lips and you go, wow, what a pungent artificial flavor, which is very overwhelming. You know what I think about is that, you know, there are infusion cigars that I don't hate. Let me state number one infusion cigar that I think is very underrated, but I'm pretty sure is no longer in the marketplace, and that was the Alpha cigars, the Absinthe infused.
Yeah.
I like it because there was no sweet tips or anything like that. It was tobacco leaves dipped and dried in absinthe and then rolled into the cigar, right? So there was none of that unnatural sweetness. And I think that's, to me, the part that I just don't like the most, because I can't strip that away and begin to understand what traditional tobacco flavors are supposed to exist in the cigar, because it's so overwhelming. It's like it just displaces anything else from a tobacco perspective that you could really derive from the cigar that would otherwise be good had that sweetness not just be so overpowering throughout the entire cigar, because it really never goes away. So for me, it's one of those things where I can get subtle hints of, like, you get the earthiness, a little bit of the spicy, especially at the end, it starts to amplify, I think, a little bit in terms of those like pepper notes, which is something that, okay, I'm familiar with in terms of smoking traditional cigars. But really, it's got that, like the aromatics of it is like that, like funeral perfume. Like shit you smell on old ladies when they're about to die. Like that's how it hits your nostrils. And I just think to myself, if you strip some of those things away, it wouldn't be an acid. But if you strip those things away, how would the cigar taste? Would it be better? Would it be worse? I don't know. I'm just so overwhelmed by this sweet, pungent flavor that just always sits in your mouth as you smoke the entirety of this cigar. So, you know, one of the things that I think for me, that from a personal perspective, if I'm being subjective in this whole thing, I go, obviously not for me. Simply stated, not for me. Quite honestly, smoking this cigar makes my stomach turn. And I'm not saying like I'm creating an analogy for my experience and going, it turns my stomach. It literally makes my stomach turn. Like the sweetness makes my stomach upset. But also, so does chewing mint gum for me. So maybe there's something to it. But it literally turns my stomach. Like when I smoke that cigar enough, it literally, my stomach starts rumbling. It's like my washing machine just turned on. So that right there is a very big deterrent for me in terms of smoking the cigar overall. But just the overwhelming sweetness, obviously, it's just so, it's just not my bag. You know what I mean? And I don't really know what else to say about it. I just imagine, like, in my head, it's like sucking off Toucan Sam, like the Fruit Loops. You know what I mean? She's got this fucking fruity cock. It's just sweet all the way through.
Dude.
And that's like smoking the acid Cuba Cuba. What are you doing back there? Come here.
That's a great way of putting it. It's like, imagine eating Fruity Pebbles for like a week straight and then going to like bland Raisin Bran.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just weird. I don't know. But here's what I want to say. And this is, so that's the subjective experience that I get from the cigar and the things that challenge me about smoking the acid line as a whole. Now, let me defend this cigar because it is defensible. Here's why. I can 100% see why people like this cigar. I can see why they enjoy it. And here's why. All of us start drinking beer, and we start with Bud Light, Miller Lite, Coors Light. Some of us graduate to craft beers. And a whole lot of us never do. We stay with Miller Lite. This is the Miller Lite of cigars. This is that Inception cigar. And you're either going to progress and graduate beyond it, or you're just going to stay and love it. And this will be the thing that you smoke when you decide you want to smoke. This is what you're going to smoke. This is what you become acclimated to. This is what makes you feel good. This is what you're familiar with. And if you think about these cigars, infusion cigars, the acid lineup in particular, here's something, again, in its defense that I think we all need to understand, is that when people smoke a premium cigar minus infusion, those are very unfamiliar flavor characteristics that your mouth is now absorbing really for the first time. It's like throwing in a dip. It's going to make you sick, right? But these cigars bridge the familiarity for people because you understand what sweet tastes like. You understand what the fruitiness tastes like. You've been accustomed to those flavor characteristics your whole life. So it bridges this gap into premium tobacco. And I think that's why this cigar is so defensible. Why I can look at it and say, I get why it's as popular as it is because it creates that gateway, that bridge to premium tobacco. And I think that's the importance that needs to be highlighted about this cigar in the industry since 1999. It's not gotten more unpopular. These fucking things sell like goddamn hotcakes, and there's a reason for it. It bridges that gap. And I often find myself when someone asks me when they want to get into cigars and they look at me as the expert and I go, well, what I like, you're not going to like. So then I got to reflect back onto these other cigars where I would say, this is something that I know this person can smoke that's not going to turn them off. It's going to create intrigue, but it's also going to be something that they can derive some familiarity from, being those sweet, fruity flavors. What am I going to recommend? Probably an acid, because that is really kind of that go-to cigar that has all those components that would help this person really acclimate to premium cigars overall. So where I personally don't like them, and by the way, had never smoked acids when I first started smoking premium tobacco. I think I'm probably somewhat of a rarity in that. There's a lot of people that started on flavor-infused cigars, acids in particular, that graduated that smoke much more complicated and complex cigars than I do. I just never smoked them. I started off with CAOs. I didn't start off with flavor-infused cigars. That just wasn't my thing. I just skipped straight to step two. I just didn't hit step one. I just skipped over it. Went right to two. Most people don't do that. Most people are on that pathway of like, here's the Inception cigar, which is going to be the flavor-infused stuff. And then you're going to continue graduating over time. You're going to graduate out of elementary school. You're going to go to junior high. You're going to go to high school. You're going to college. You're going to get a doctorate. So on and so forth. You're going to keep progressing over time, likely to leave the flavor-infused stuff behind. But even if you don't, hey, that's all good. Because guess what? You're still smoking a cigar. So that's my defending position of something like the acid, because it certainly has its place in the market. And quite honestly, if you think about it, it's fucking brilliant. The cigar is brilliant. Think about how many have been sold. It either keeps you connected to the acid line, exploring more under that line or other flavor-infused cigars, or it helps graduate you to, and think about this with Drew Estate, other great Drew Estate cigars and the progression of their lineup. It's fucking brilliant. The acid lineup's brilliant. And there's really no disputing that.
I think it's perfect for the American public, Kale. Or Corey. Corey. Called you Kale. Listen, we all like our fast food. We all like our pizzas here in the U.S. And there's a reason that the world in the United States, because I consider the United States the world, because I'm that naive and in my own bubble. But 40% of Americans are faced with diabetes, and a lot of that diabetesness comes from unhealthy habits, such as eating our favorite sweet foods, our unhealthy shit, eating a quart of ice cream, eating our Fruity Pebbles, all this shit, right? The best analogy I can give is that acid is like the cigar for unhealthy obese people. And traditional cigars, the natural cigars, is the organic cigars that us healthy people smoke. So
the acid, what's the acid's the pizza roll of the
pretty much.
Cigar community.
So if you want to get healthy in this cigar community, put down the unhealthy cigars. Set aside the acids and the infused and weird fucking Swisher sweets. Put down the unhealthy stuff and pick a healthier choice. Go with the organic, natural cigars. Because I promise you, in just a few months' time, you'll start feeling a lot better.
Yeah, I like your PSA. That was great. All right, so we need to talk real quick, and let's breeze through the summary of the cigar because I feel like we've talked about it way too much already. So given your experience, pricing bonus or delta, or is the pricing appropriate? What's your opinion?
Honestly, it you know, I didn't really care for it. I never really have. I smoke them because I want to know. I want to have as much broad perspective on the cigars in the industry as I can. You know, $9 is not a hateful price.
It's $9.85.
$9.80. Oof. Now that you said that.
Does that change your tune a little bit? It's weird to suggest that a dollar makes a difference, but in cigar industry, it does. A dollar can make all the difference.
For the uninitiated, no one's going to balk at a $9 cigar. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're the uninitiated, yeah. I'm smoking right. For the first time, no one's going to balk at a $9, $10 cigar.
I would agree.
I think it's a fair price. I mean, you get an hour or so out of the smoke. It burns relatively slower than you'd imagine. And I would agree with Corey. It's not a very dense or heavy cigar, like weight wise, but it still burns for quite a while.
Yeah.
So if you end up
it
liking,
does. Yeah, it really does.
So if you end up liking the cigar, you get a lot out of it. You get an hour smoke easy. And if you're a beginning smoker, you're getting an hour and a half probably. So I think the price, for the most part, knowing that you're getting that extra sugar on top, I honestly think it's worth the price, in my opinion.
Okay, I would agree. I think it's worth the price. I think it's worth the price of admission because of what it is and how it's represented in the industry. Would I pay that for it? No. But if I'm being fair about the cigar overall, I think it's appropriately priced. And it's hard to dispute that it isn't, because here's the reality. Again, this cigar probably sells way more in the industry than most cigars. I would love to see the numbers of the acid lineup. I guarantee it's the fucking breadwinner of, it's the cash cow when it comes to Drew Estate, I'd have to imagine. That and the Liga series probably. Stuff. It's gotta be. Probably. So I think it's appropriate. All right, let's get into this. Let's breeze through the recap of the cigar. Chris, let's go through the recap, that works too, and then get to the final score.
Sure. 10 out of 10 on construction. Enjoy your industrial carpet cleaner smell. A 19 out of 20 on burn. I had one particular outage and a couple retouches that it didn't take points away, but I had one major abrupt outage about halfway through, and I gave it a 22 out of 30 on flavor. It was just really challenged, man. When you lose the sweetness, there's not a whole lot of flavor you get out of it.
Yep.
And it's just so overwhelmed with the sweetness. Price point, I think, is on point. I gave it an 85%, and it's a decent smoke to try.
Okay. Nicely constructed, very lightweight, as I've already said, but I think the construction overall was probably matched with most premium cigars on the market, which I very much appreciated, and what I would consider not on the same level in terms of some of the other things. So it was nice to see that the cigar was constructed as well as it was. Given the fact that it's a flavor-infused cigar. So I give it a 10 out of 10 on construction. Absolutely perfect fucking draw on the cigar. Really enjoyed the draw. Great smoke production, but did get that one outage at the end with a relighted temp. So that's minus 1 point on that. It's 19 out of 20. I also gave it a 22 on flavor. I thought because, and again, this is the subjectiveness that comes down to what we're talking about this. For me personally, this is not a cigar I am going to itch to get to smoke the next time. It's just... it's going to be one of those things. The next time that I smoke an acid, like Chris said, I will probably be on acid. It's just not something that I'm going to reach for in the humidor. I think about what's represented in the marketplace overall and all these cigars that I've yet to enjoy. I'm going to go for those first before I'm going to go for a flavor infused cigar. And that's of any kind outside of the acid lineup, any flavor infused cigar. It's just ain't nobody got time for that. I don't know when my last day on the earth is going to be, but I'm sure shit not going to spend it smoking flavor-infused cigars. It's just the reality. Again, though, I can defend the cigar, will defend the cigar in terms of its importance in the marketplace and what it does from a gateway perspective. Not that I'm calling it marijuana, although it's kind of similar. I think it really is a healthy way to get people acclimated to smoking cigars overall. And if it can usher in folks into enjoying more premium tobacco, I'm fucking all for it in the industry. So I think from that perspective, I got to give a lot of kudos to this cigar. But for likeness for me, 22 out of 30, which also gives me an 85%, which of course averages out to an 85%, which barely tethers a line of decent smoke to try. I think given everything that we've stated in here, that's more than appropriate.
Yeah.
And probably a little bit more fair than I think a lot of people would love to give it. I think most people are like 60, whatever that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's just, it is what it is. And it's, I'll put it this way, and this is going to be my ending thought. If I was stuck on an island by myself and up floated a nice sealed box of Acid Cuba Cubas, I'm not going to smoke them.
And that's true, but...
I'm going to have to rub two twigs together for about 6 hours just to get them fucking lit.
Yeah, I was about to say, but if you're challenged to light your fire... I probably would use it as kindling.
Tear it apart. Yeah, that's true. All right, there you go. Acid Cuba Cuba first. One is not the first infused cigar we've reviewed. It's the first one that we've reviewed on the podcast. So this is a very new endeavor for us, and maybe we'll continue this on. Maybe we'll just have this whole infused theme that we'll just interlace into this and be like, what infused one should we try next and throw up as we're smoking it? We're down for anything, though. All right, let's end the episode. Visit our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack, at www.mycigarpack.com. March's pack, get it now if you dare. It is a foundation-filled My Cigar Pack month, so Foundation Cigars did a takeover, so it's flooded with their cigars, and then don't forget the Factory Direct stuff as well, which are arguably some of the best cigars I've had for the money. Visit our website, www.hotticketweekly.com. Did a review this week, and I'm going to post it right here, of the Alec Bradley Project 40. Why did I do the Alec Bradley Project 40? I don't fucking know. I'm tired of smoking these fucking cigars. I don't know why they review them. I got the Alec Bradley fucking Project 40. We got this goddamn fucking Acid Cuba Cuba. Am I going to smoke anything decent coming up? I don't know. I'm mad at myself right now. That's why I'm raising my voice. But you can check out the review at www.hotticketweekly.com.
Listen, I think that was well said, but for you listening, the reason Corey's smoking these is the same reason you need to smoke them. It's like visiting a third world country and noticing the poverty and the famish and the death and like, all that.
I'm so glad I don't have that gorted out milk belly.
It's like going on a mission trip. And yeah, when you're there on your mission, you're seeing how other people live and you're like,
thank God that's not me.
I'm glad that's not how my life. When you come back, you appreciate what you have, you know? And what you have is some great premium cigars. So like when you think about all these cigars you smoked and you're like, oh, that's shit. Brother, you haven't experienced the world.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you'll begin to love those cigars when you truly travel to the pits of the world's anus and come back. You'll appreciate. You'll be humbled.
Yep. Yeah, you'd be living in Somalia.
Yeah.
Dealing with that mess. I'm the captain now. It's Captain Phillips. That guy hasn't done anything since. His whole thing was, I want to be an actor. Won a fucking Oscar for Captain Phillips. Just went right back to robbing ships.
Yep.
That's the life. All right, let's end it. This will conclude. By the way, I had the episodes fucked up. I didn't have them fucked up. Here's the reality. One of the episodes mysteriously disappeared. I don't know what happened to it, but the Charter Oak Maduro is fucking gone. How I know we recorded the episode? It's still on YouTube. So I know we fucking recorded it. But from a podcast perspective, you will not be able to find it in the directory. It does not exist. It is fucking gone. I don't know what happened to it. I don't remember deleting it. Nothing. But it is not there. So the Charter Oak Cabana, you can watch on YouTube, but I'm not going to repost it on the podcast platform. So this is technically episode 195. I think last week we said it was episode 195, and it wasn't. It was 94, but it was actually 194.1 is what I labeled it. We got to get back on track for episode 200. So this is technically going to be, we're going to forget that the Charter Oak Habano ever existed unless it's on YouTube. And this is going to be episode 195.
Dude, we were canceled, bro. Remember how we were invited to that party that we didn't go to?
Yeah, the World Charter was, like, party.
Super elites.
Maybe that's what it was.
We never showed up.
I do think, whole nother side subject, I think YouTube does not like what we say. So...
I'm sure.
Temper that a little bit. I heard there's a 10-minute rule on YouTube before you can really start saying vulgar shit. So probably should start being mindful of that.
Yeah, if you cuss, like they strip you from search. For the most part.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So we gotta be very careful now. Yeah, we need to set a timer. Like I'm gonna put a timer up here, and then once 10 minutes is over, I'm just gonna fucking let it loose. But anyway, let's conclude the episode. This will conclude episode 195. We'll be back at you next week with episode 196. See you, everyone. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Let me tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of myself at the Hot Ticket Pod on Instagram. You can get a hold of Chris at Hot Ticket Chris on Instagram as well. You can find this podcast. It is available all over the place. You can find it on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. And you can find the podcast available on video on YouTube. Look up the Hot Ticket Weekly on YouTube, and you can watch all the fun happen before your eyes. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode. And as always, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes if you could. And check out our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack, at www.mycigarpack.com. Again, thanks for listening. We'll be back at you next week.